to the book of Genesis. Chapter number 29 and verse number 16. Genesis 29, verse 16. Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy daughter, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. In other words, yes, stay with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Father, I pray now that you'd anoint your word as it goes forth and anoint the messenger, Heavenly Father. In thy name I pray, amen. There is no more heart-wrenching story in the Bible than the story of Leah and Rachel. Leah was the oldest daughter. The scripture says that she was tender-eyed. There's a lot of controversies what that word means. You can do a little research into it, and you'll find that a lot of the Jewish commentators say it means soft eyes. It means that her eyes were like that because she'd done so much crying, and she'd been through so much stress. And that may very well be the case. They say that a woman's beauty, the beauty of a lot of women, is in the luster in their eyes. How many's ever heard that before? A few of you have. And apparently Rachel had that beauty in her eyes. She had the luster in her eyes. But Leah didn't. She was soft-eyed. But her eyes were also a window to her soul. Leah had a soft soul. Leah had a gentle heart. You'll find here a conflict going on between two women, one man. Just like you have Penina and Hannah over there in the book of 1 Samuel. God said one man, one woman, and any time you change that order, you get in trouble. And God allowed it. He was long-suffering to a lot of things in the Old Testament. But when he comes down to the book of Matthew chapter 19, the Lord Jesus Christ told him, he said, it wasn't so from the beginning. Male and female created he them, one man, one woman. And that's the way a marriage should be. And thank God for that. Because anytime you get into polygamy or multiplicity of wives, you get into all kinds of trouble. And the trouble in a home is the worst trouble you'll ever have on this earth. You can leave your job, but you can't leave your home. If you've got trouble in the home, then you're going to have trouble. So Jacob had trouble, but it wasn't the kind of trouble he expected. God has a way of dealing with the downcast, the trodden, the outcast, the one that is the brunt of the jokes, the one that gets kicked around. It has a way of moving his heart. You can learn a lot about the character of God by just watching the way he deals with people. You see, Leah was not the one that Rachel loved because she wasn't a beautiful woman. The one that Jacob loved because she wasn't a beautiful woman. Jacob loved Rachel. She was a beautiful woman. Obviously, Jacob's love for Rachel was based on her looks. Because Rachel, if you read much about that Old Testament, you'll find out that she stole her daddy's gods. I mean, read that story. I'd hate to have gods somebody could steal, wouldn't you? You talk about getting a man in a mess. You wake up one morning, where's my gods? Now what am I going to worship today? Somebody carried my gods off. That's kind of comical in a sense. It certainly is. But it also shows you how ignorant people can be and how superstitious they can be. So he chased them down. And Jacob had no idea that Rachel had carried these gods off. And he said, let the one die that did this. Well, it wasn't too long after that Rachel did die. She died on the way to Bethlehem. And her tomb to this very day is over there on the side of the road. And when she died, she was buried there on the side of the road. She wasn't carried to the family tomb. The family tomb is what Abraham bought from Ephron the Hittite at Machpelah. And I've been privileged to go to Machpelah. I've been there one time. And it was one of the most remarkable places I've ever seen in my life. It's a cave with a building over the top of it. The building, obviously, at one time was there because of the Hebrew. And then the church, because of its significance, had built the Church of God, had built a church building on the top of it. And then, as they always do, the Muslims came in and changed it to a mosque, like they do all over the Holy Land. They take a church, and to show the superiority of their religion, they turn it into a mosque. And that's what happened at Machpelah. But it's there to this very day. It's the it's the burying place of Abraham and Jacob and Leah. Even though she's not the choice bride of Jacob, she's buried in the family plot. And any Jewish literature that you read that makes a reference back to the matriarchs, the one who are responsible for the building of Israel, if you'll look over there in the book of Ruth, along about chapter 4, I think it is somewhere in there, you'll find that Leah is mentioned as one of the women who built Israel, or built the nation. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and there's another one. Six sons she gave Jacob before Rachel ever had the first one. God opened the womb of Leah. He heard her prayers. He always hears the prayers of the brokenhearted, the downtrodden, the ones that are the cast out, castaways, the ones that aren't chosen. You see, the world has its way of choosing. The world has its method of measuring. The world has its definition of beauty. The world has all of this. God doesn't go by the rules of the world. His beauty is an entirely different thing. His choices are not based upon human achievement and human ability. His choices are based upon his very character, and that's the love of God. So he loved Leah. He opened her womb, and she began to have one child right after another. And if you read in the Bible and look carefully at it, you'll find out that God heard Leah's prayers. And she's the first woman in the Bible that is recorded where God heard her prayers. Now, we know that God heard the prayer of Hannah over there in 1 Samuel. No question about that. I've preached many messages about God hearing the prayer of Hannah, because Peninnah persecuted her, you know, made fun of her and talked about her having a barren. She was barren. And to the Hebrew, the Old Testament, the ancient Hebrew, to be barren was a curse of all curses, because it was the desire of the Jewish women to bring the Messiah into the world that would show the blessing of God, Genesis 3:15. But she was barren. But of course, you know, God answered her prayer and gave her Samuel. And when Hannah named him, his name means ask of God, Samuel. He was the last and greatest of all the judges that ever walked the face of this earth by far. Samuel was one of the judges. But when we read about Leah, we know that God opened her womb, and one of Leah's sons, and you ought to know his name, because in Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 5, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Reuben hath prevailed. What is it? Judah. Judah means praise. She was beginning now to praise God. She started, you know, in crying and tears and weeping. She started by saying, now maybe my husband will love me, when she bore a son, brought him into the world. And as far as we know, Jacob never loved Leah as much as he did Rachel. But God gave special grace to Leah, and she bore Judah. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So Judah prevailed. And when Jacob, on his deathbed, gave out his prophecies about the sons of Israel, he elevated Judah, because he knew that the Messiah was coming. He knew that Christ was going to come into this world. He might not have known his name, but he knew what he was and who he was. He was the Mashiach. He was the anointed of God. And so Judah was praised. That tells me tonight that regardless of who you are, God's not interested in how pretty you are. He's not interested in how much money you've got. He doesn't care whether you're praised by this world or you're part of its standard or part of its accomplishments, and you know, you're a Christian celebrity or whatever. That means nothing to God. God will take a woman or a man in a church who is unknown. And you'd be surprised at how many churches in this country, and I firmly believe this, you would be surprised at how many churches in this country are born alone, and the life of that church is maintained because of the prayer warriors in that church, because of the intercessors, because of the people who pray and get a hold of God, and you never hear their name. You will hear it. For the Bible said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body. The judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, the great place where the Lord Jesus Christ judges His saints. And folks, if you're not praying, you're playing. And prayer is the foundation of the church of God. And the Holy Ghost will energize your prayer. Once you start, He'll make it stronger than it ever was before. And you can get a hold of God. Leah inspires me. Because we're not all beautiful. And we never stay young. And we're never, you know, I don't have the strength and the speed and that I had when I was 17 years old. When I was 17 years old, I could do anything. I played basketball, ran track, I was an athlete. But not anymore. It's all I can do to climb the steps. It's quite an accomplishment to get up and go down to the table and have breakfast in the morning. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So that youth is not going to stay around. If you worship youth, your God's going to die. Let me say it again. If you worship youth, your God's going to die. If you worship beauty, your God's going to die. You better find out that people are made of far more than what their face looks like and their physical structure, stature. You remember what God said, don't you, when Samuel stood before the sons of Jesse and his firstborn stood there, and Samuel was amazed at his stature and his strength. And Samuel said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." You remember him saying that? You know what God said? "Neither have I accepted this." God looketh not on the outward appearance. He looketh on the heart. I'm afraid the church a lot of times is built on that. A lot of times the church is built on the same structure that the world is built on. Talent, ability, beauty, you know, charisma, and all these things. And it ought not be. It ought not be. It ought to be that one that it appears to be the lowliest in your midst may be the most important. Because that one is the prayer warrior. That one's the one who gets a hold of God. Leah represents a lot of people in the Bible. And there's no doubt in my mind that a lot of women have gone to Leah and they've read her story and they've read the story of Rachel. Now listen, folks. Eve was probably a beautiful woman. We know Rebecca was. And we know that Sarah was. Sarah had the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, had him all torn up. And Abimelech. Have you read the story of Abimelech? Same thing. And Abraham knew how beautiful Sarah was. And so he kind of manipulated the truth a little bit to cover himself. Yes, sir, no question. These are beautiful women. As a matter of fact, the inclination in Scripture is that from the Hebrew race, from the Jewish people, come some of the most beautiful women that ever walked the face of this earth. No question about that. But the Bible said beauty is vain. And you're not always going to be beautiful. And so God reaches in here and shows you what counts. You see, Rachel died and was buried by the wayside. Leah died and was buried at Machpelah, where Jacob is buried, where Abraham is buried. It's not that God thought any less of Rachel. Rachel loved the Lord. She served Him. But she no doubt had a good bit that she had inherited from her daddy. Laban was just like, probably worse than Jacob. Laban was a usurper, a deceiver, a liar. You know the story of what he did to Jacob? Sure he was. And do you know who Laban's sister was? That's it. You got it. Rebekah. And do you remember the story of Rebekah when Isaac was old and he was blind almost, he couldn't see? What did Rebekah do? You know, she had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Remember? Now we're tracing family lineage here. Jacob and Esau. All right. Which one was the firstborn? Esau. Exactly. But the Bible said he despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. And Jacob, the usurper, the supplanter, bought his birthright from him. Bought it for a bowl of pottage. All right. And then later when it came time to get the blessing, and Isaac was going to bless his son, then Rebekah knew exactly what he was going to do. He was going to give the blessing to Esau. But Rebekah, being the sister of Laban, same bloodline, said, I'll take care of this business. So, of course, what did she do? She ran Jacob in there and made him put hairy things on his arm, made him and smell on him like he was Esau, and fooled Isaac. Isaac said, your hands and your arms are my son Esau, but the voice is not Esau. And Isaac, but anyway, he went along with it, and he put the blessing on Jacob. So Jacob bought the birthright and was blessed through deception. So I guess if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap the flesh. So when Jacob wanted a bride from Rebekah's brother, then Jacob was deceived in the same manner that he had deceived. And so it comes around. They say today out here in the world, what goes around comes around. It does. If you sow it, you'll reap it. And Leah inspires me, always has. She is a blessed dear soul. She really is. She's one of those that you don't hear much about. You don't hear much about Leah. But she is. She stuck with it. She stayed with him. She knew he didn't love her like he did Rachel. She knew she wasn't as pretty as Rachel. But she knew she had a special place in the heart of God. And boy, if you know you got a special place in the heart of God, you can make it with about anything, can't you? She did. God opened her womb and opened her womb and opened her womb, and she had a daughter, Dinah. She had six sons and a daughter. He opened her womb and opened her womb and opened her womb. She had six sons before Rachel ever had her first one, and she had Dinah. And so half of Israel came forth from the womb of one woman. That's God. Father, I ask you to bless your word tonight. Bless it as it goes forth to people. I pray now in Jesus' name, and amen. Now tonight.